Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light of life. The Bible's hands go, the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
In Ephesians 5:23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body." In other words, if you're a lady and you don't think that Christ should be the head of the church, then you probably don't think your husband should be the head of the home. But if you do think that Christ is the head of the church, he says, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body, the husband is to be the head of the wife. Now, my friend, that's the Word of God, and that's straight from the Bible. I knew a lady who was very smart. She had a college education. She was a school teacher. Now, her husband, I believe, got a diploma at the bottom of his high school class, and that is about all the education he could handle. Clearly, she had a superior intellect and skills in many areas. Yet, as I witnessed at home, the man was the head of that home, and it was easy to see it was not because he was superior, but it was because it was fit in the Lord. She was subjected because she loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and that made subjection to her husband more special. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35, we read this: "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it's a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, learning, dealing with teaching there, and so women aren't to teach men or to try to teach men. Now, the Greek word there in 1 Corinthians for silence is the idea of holding your peace. And it has a tranquil sense. It's not just saying, tell the women to shut up. Okay, that's not the idea behind it. We must remember that during this period of time, men were the ones to receive an education. If the word here meant complete silence, women would never get the opportunity to ask questions or to increase their knowledge of scriptures. And in that he uses the word teach, he's not talking about singing solos or even praying. We find that when the 120 were gathered in the upper room in Acts chapter 2, that women were gathered with them, and they were praying with them. This has to do with teaching. That's why I don't favor women being pastors. Now, the Bible does tell us that Philip had 4 daughters who prophesied, but it does not say that it prophesied to men. Now, if 1 Timothy 2:12 tells us that the woman is not to teach or usurp authority over the man in the church, then it only makes sense that the Bible would not contradict itself. Therefore, those 4 daughters of Philip the Evangelist in Acts were 4 young ladies that preached to other ladies and perhaps children. But since the Bible does not contradict, it would not say they were prophetesses that preached to men. And so we don't see any indication in that passage that they preach to men. It's all right for women to teach women, but it's not all right, according to the Word of God, for women to teach men. Now, you might be a lady sitting back there listening today, and you're just getting mad, and you're madder than an old red hen, as we used to say out in the farm country. But lady, please, please understand, I'm just teaching the Word of God. And your argument is not with me, it's not with Baptists. Your argument would be with the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And someday you'll get to stand before Him and you'll understand it better by and by. So what He is simply saying here is that wives need to display a tranquil or quiet spirit in her attempt to learn. And so, we also see that a woman is being told here to not be involved in any dispute that goes on in the church. Now, ladies, don't be involved in the dispute, and also, don't push your husband to and tell him what he needs to stand up and say or not say. That's almost as bad. The idea, then, is that the wife's desire to learn the Word of God and respect her husband's position over her in the Lord must be foremost. Now, that doesn't sit well with today's society, but remember, God is right, man is wrong. Now, as already stated, the word submit has the idea of voluntarily placing yourself under. Now, in marriage, it's the idea of placing yourself under the authority and the headship of the husband. Doesn't Christ leave it up to us to voluntarily make him Lord of our life? Now, let me insert right here. God is holy. If you're commanded by your husband to drink alcohol, to commit adultery, for example, as in wife swapping, then don't do it. Because why? That is not fit in the Lord. God is a holy God. There was a group that was teaching at one time that the husband commanded to swap wives, that she would be disobeying if she didn't, and she'd be out of the will of God. That is straight out of hell. My holy God does not command women to commit sin. Okay? Now, understand that the thought of submission is much deeper than just obeying his commands. You see, a vital element in Christian submission is an attitude of yieldedness toward the one to whom we submit. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, what it says there? Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now, Jesus will go on and tell some of these people that he's teaching here that these scribes and Pharisees that they're to obey are serpents. They're vipers. They are hypocrites. And I mean, he doesn't spare in telling them what they are. What about Daniel in Babylon? Old King Nebuchadnezzar and those that followed, they were very wicked. And yet here in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, Jesus tells his disciples that they are to observe and do. Is there agreement with the scribes and the Pharisees? Of course there's not, but they're to submit to their position of authority. Was there agreement with Nebuchadnezzar by Daniel, especially with two different religions? Of course not, but he submitted. Now, Daniel didn't submit in one area. When it came to the area of diet, and God strictly commanded what they were to eat and not to eat. And Daniel showed us a pattern that when God says one thing and government says another thing, you obey God. Peter said the same thing to the Sanhedrin. Whether it's best for us to obey you than God, you decide. As for us, we've already decided. We're obeying God. Children, we will see later, are told to obey. But wives are told to submit. Now, by the way, men, regardless of the age of your children or their gender, they are under your wife. Now, don't treat your wife on the same level or below your children. You honor her as the weaker vessel, and you honor her above your children. Now, it is possible to obey grudgingly, but not to submit grudgingly, since submission is of the will. Therefore, understand, an unsubmitted wife simply has a spiritual problem. So why does he say children obey and wives submit? Because obedience is the stepping stone to submission. We force children to obey. That's law. The wife, by love, chooses submission. In other words, a woman who is submitted to her husband because she loves Jesus is scripturally more mature, of course, than a child, but also she is more mature Then the lady submitted, but not out of love and obedience to Christ, just because she has fear and insecurity. And this lady is more mature than the lady who has a great scriptural knowledge and great talents, like the Pharisees, yet not submitted to her husband for Christ's sake. You see, what we're having pictured here is law, which is obedience, and that's the child. But grace is submission, the wife, and that is maturity as the bride of Christ. You ever see an alcoholic, a smoker, or a compulsive eater, or a drug addict? They're hooked, and overcoming is a real battle. Well, some women have the same battle with submission, and it's easily seen. But friend, don't be so quick to condemn. Pray as much and more for her than you laugh about it when you're talking to others about her behind her back. And by the way, unsubmitted lady, that does happen. You are an unsubmitted lady. People can see it. That is often the butt of the jokes in many circles. And you may not like that, but that's the truth. Now, we all must learn submission, men especially. For example, we see submission to a government in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So the command is to be under the government, to submit yourselves to the ordinances of men. And by the way, wasn't this written to a people under a totalitarian form of government? And yet, in all of that, they were to obey. And that's not only true in government, that's true in church. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 13 also said the same thing, and tells us those that have the rule over them, those that taught the word to them. Again, it is an attitude of yieldedness to the one to whom we are submitting. And so you have a pastor of your church. He's the one that Christ has put in there. He's given this church gifts. He's given the church gifts of pastors and teachers. And he's given the pastor responsibilities in the church. As you read that, Paul told Timothy that in 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, and outlines what a pastor's responsibility. And even in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, we're told that the elders, which is another term for pastors, are to take the oversight of the flock. And when people are unsubmissive to that oversight, when people are unsubmissive to that pastor, then they sin against God. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website, and freely download the sermons by clicking on the Sermon Library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.